Health, yeah. This isn't your average health talk. We're asking those awkward questions for you. We're digging into the health, wellness, and medical news that matters to you. We're cutting through the clickbait with facts you can trust. From uncomfortable questions to breakthrough science, it's a dose of real news you can use. This is Health Yeah with Monica Robbins, your prescription for life.
Hey everyone, I'm Monica Robbins. Welcome to Health Yeah. The latest research using the psychedelic drug LSD for generalized anxiety disorder now knows the correct dose and is moving into the next trial phase, including here in Cleveland. We told you about this study for the last 3 years. The latest findings just published in the Journal of the American Medical Association showed 50% of participants went into remission 12 weeks after a single dose. Now MindMed, the company behind the study, wants to see if those effects can last even longer, and they're working with Cleveland Clinic. I interviewed Dr. Brian Barnett, a psychiatrist with Cleveland Clinic, who's behind recruiting those patients. Here's what he had to say.
Can you talk about your part in this study and what you found relating to LSD and generalized anxiety?
Yeah, thanks for having me on today, Monica. So this was a multi-site trial across the country where LSD was being evaluated for generalized anxiety disorder. It was sponsored by a company called MindMed, which is a psychedelic-focused biotech. And we were one of about 20 sites that was enrolling patients for the trial. So we enrolled patients for this. They were treated with a single dose of either LSD or placebo. And there were a variety of LSD doses, so it could be 25, 50, 100, or 200 micrograms. And 100 micrograms is similar to what people typically use when they use in non-medical settings. And the study found that 12 weeks after receiving a 100 microgram dose, about half of people were in remission from their generalized anxiety disorder, so that they no longer met criteria for generalized anxiety disorder. So it was pretty impressive findings.
So this is going to go to a phase three, but what's your gut feeling on this? I mean, to say that LSD could potentially be a treatment for generalized anxiety, is that a huge step forward or is that a possibility?
Well, you know, this is the first large trial looking at this, so it's still a possibility. Sometimes there are findings in phase two trials that are not confirmed in larger phase three trials, but this was a pretty large trial. It was about 200 participants. So we're pretty hopeful about the findings, and they do confirm signals that we had already seen from studies in the 1960s and the 1970s. So this is a really exciting finding for generalized anxiety disorder because about a third of patients that we treat don't respond to the treatments that we currently have. So we need more treatments. And the results of this study, although you have to take it with a grain of salt because it wasn't a head-to-head comparison, but when you compare it to studies of things like SSRIs, like Prozac, benzodiazepines, like Xanax, it looks like the LSD worked twice as well. But we can't say that with certainty until there's a head-to-head trial.
So talk to me about what's going to happen in this next trial that might determine if this is going to be the next best thing.
So the company is doing two phase three trials simultaneously. So you need two positive phase three trial results to get FDA approval. One of the trials is multiple sites across the US. The other one includes sites outside of the US in Europe and other places. But we're already enrolling for the phase three trial that we're participating in. So it will probably go on for the next year and a half or so. Then it'll take some time to analyze the data. And if the findings from these studies are positive, then the company would move forward and submit an application to the FDA to gain regulatory approval to have this used as a medicine. So potentially, if these trials show positive results, we could see LSD approved by the FDA possibly in late 2027 or 2028.
We went down this road with MDMA and it didn't happen. What makes LSD different?
Well, it's not necessarily a difference in efficacy between these molecules. There were problems with the MDMA application. The timing of this interview is really interesting because typically when the FDA does not approve a medication, they send a letter, it's a form letter to the company telling them why, what they did wrong, what they need to remedy in their future trials. And those letters have not previously been public. But recently, the Trump administration made a change of policy so that those letters now have to be public. And so we now know why the MDMA application was rejected. And it turns out that the company sponsoring that application, it originally started as a grassroots nonprofit organization, didn't have any pharma experience really. They made some pretty basic mistakes in this type of work. So they didn't ask participants whether they felt euphoric, which is something that is important to the FDA to determine misuse liability of the drug and addictive potential. And so there were some other things like that that they didn't do. And the FDA had actually been very clear with them that they needed to do this all along the way. But we're not going to see that with the other companies that are working in this space now. So they started later. They involved people from the pharmaceutical industry right from the get-go who knew what the FDA wanted, knew that the companies had to listen to the FDA's request. So if this drug goes before the FDA and it's not approved, I don't think it will be because of any mistakes caused by the company. It would be because it's not shown to be efficacious, or there's some kind of safety signal that comes up in these later trials.
How many patients are you recruiting at Cleveland Clinic?
Well, I would say we're targeting somewhere between 10 and 20 patients, and there'll be several hundred patients enrolled across the country. So, but yeah, we're hoping to enroll a number of patients. This is one of our main psychedelic trials going on right now that we're focusing our efforts on. So, yeah, we're hoping to have a large number of people participate at our site.
For people who don't understand, this is not, for lack of a better term, taking an acid trip. I mean, this is so controlled. Can you talk about how this is done and what happens during this treatment and how regulated it is, if you will?
Yes, safety is our number one priority in these trials. We know that drugs like LSD are extremely powerful drugs, and if we're going to use them in medicine, then we have to do everything that we can to control the experience and direct it as much as possible. So many patients are screened out of these studies. About 90% of people with generalized anxiety disorder will not qualify for these studies because they have comorbid medical conditions like heart problems that might exclude them, or they might have a history of bipolar disorder in addition to their anxiety, or a close family history of bipolar disorder. We do think psychedelics can sometimes destabilize people with that condition. So there's a lot of caution about who gets into these trials. And so I do think it's important for the general public to really consider that. Just because it looks like it's working and it's safe in these trial populations does not necessarily mean that it will be helpful or safe for you to take, because most people will not actually qualify for these trials. The other things are there are monitors in the room with the participant at all times. So there's actually two monitors, and the participants meet with the study team several times beforehand to get to know the team, to feel comfortable, to feel like they can safely participate in the study, and lean into this experience that can sometimes be fully immersive, so they don't even feel like they're in the room if they get the active drug. And afterwards, they also meet with the study team. There are medications on hand during the treatment session in case they develop anxiety or another problem. So there are a lot of safety measures taken. But the good news is we've done a number of these trials so far, and we have not had any serious adverse events. So it really does look like over the course of several decades now, we have figured out how to safely harness these psychedelic experiences in medicine.
Did any of these findings surprise you, or was your gut feeling that this is exactly what these findings were going to come up with?
Yeah, I wasn't really surprised based on my experience in the trial. After the trial was over, we were informed about the doses that the participants got, and our findings for the dose that was the best, the 100 microgram dose, it had the best combination of efficacy with a lower number of adverse events compared to the 200 microgram dose. We saw the same things with our participants. Yeah, I think it just confirms what we saw in the trial, what was already in the literature. So there's really no big surprise here. I think One of the things that's most important that we're hoping to figure out in these phase three trials, though, is how long these benefits will last in the patients who do benefit. And so this the phase two study that we're talking about now, it only looked 12 weeks out. So it was still impressive results. 50% almost were in remission at 12 weeks after a single dose. But for a treatment like this to really be logistically and economically viable, since these dosing sessions last a long time and use a lot of resources, we really need to see a long durability of effect. So the phase three trials are going to follow patients for a year. They can get multiple doses if they need it. And so they'll really give us information on how long the benefits last in those that do respond and how often people need retreatment, because we don't think this is a one and done treatment. I know sometimes there are depictions of that in the media where they talk to participants and it's been several years since the trial and they're doing very well. That's unusual. And that's what we saw in this trial too. People did eventually, for the most part, go back to the antidepressants that they were on before to treat their anxiety. But it was often, when I talked to these people, it was often a year and a half later. So it was a really long time. So that would suggest that this would be a viable treatment option given our healthcare resources. But we really need to look at that in these larger trials to have that confirmed.
Are we actually using the potential term of curing generalized anxiety with this medication?
I don't think so. So, a lot of the participants went into remission, but that doesn't mean that that the symptoms aren't going to come back. And we see that across psychiatry. We have a lot of treatments, besides the medications that people take every day. Things like transcranial magnetic stimulation, electroconvulsive therapy, ketamine, for example, and many patients get better with those treatments. But we do tend to see over time, as they move further out, their symptoms start to come back. And so there's just something about the brain and the neural networks in the brain, and they do seem to move back to where they were over time. So that wouldn't necessarily be a surprise if it's the same thing with LSD. I think the potential advantage here, though, is that the effects might last a really long time so that patients don't have to do these treatments very often.
If somebody's interested in taking part in the third phase, what do they need to do?
Email us. So it's psychresearch@ccf.org. So that's PSYCH research. And then they can also give us a call. So that number is 216-425-7426. And we're looking for adults with generalized anxiety disorder who are in otherwise good health. I think it's just a really exciting time for the field. What's going on with psychedelics is just a small part of what's happening in psychiatry right now. We've really made a lot of advances in understanding neuroscience, understanding what's contributing to psychiatric conditions. So for people who have had treatment before and it hasn't been helpful or it's only helped a little bit, I think in the next 5 to 10 years, we're really going to see some really big changes in the field that hopefully will allow more people to get benefits.
Thank you so much for listening to Health Yeah! Remember, you can watch the video versions of the episodes on YouTube at Monica Robbins' channel. Subscribe and follow my work and never miss an episode at authory.com/Monica Robbins. Find me on X and Instagram at Monica Robbins, and I'm also on Blue Sky Social at monicarobbins.bsky.social. And you can follow me on Facebook at Monica Robbins, WKYC in parentheses. Wishing you the best of health and stay tuned for your next dose of information.
Monica Robbins is not a medical doctor. All content presented in this program is for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice and should not be relied on as health or personal advice. Always seek the guidance of your personal doctor or qualified healthcare professional with any questions regarding your health or medical condition. Thanks for listening to Health Yeah! With Monica Robbins from WKYC Studios. Subscribe now so you never miss an update and find more on everything you heard right here on WKYC.com, the WKYC app, and WKYC Plus on your smart TV.